Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast. Seattle, June 4th. I will be performing in you at the Showbox at the Market. Tickets for that and a bunch of other shows are at Nerdist.com. Come out and see some live comedy that I am performing in. Also, if you're on the Facebook, go to Facebook.com/Nerdist. And click the like button, because that's important to people for some reason. So help us out and do that. Also, I'd like to thank our returning sponsor this week, GoToMeeting by Citrix. These guys have won just about every possible award for web conferencing in the industry. And yes, there are a lot of them. But we think the best accolades come from the newest customers who say GoToMeeting is A, simple and smart, B, dynamic, C, we're so happy we switched. That's what they said. I'm imitating them. Did you hear how excited they were? Smart intuitive controls allow you to host your first meeting right away. You can schedule in advance. You can do it on the fly. Everyone sees your computer desktop on their screens, so you can collaborate with files and documents in real time. It's available for Mac or PC. So use GoToMeeting for product reviews, demos, sales presentations, training sessions, weekly status meetings, debaucherous activities, whatever you want to do. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial of GoToMeeting. Hold all the meetings you want for one low flat rate. You get voiceover IP in that as well, also phone service. So visit GoToMeeting.com, click try it for free, and enter the promo code Nerdist. Thanks, GoToMeeting. And now, to the rest of you, the Nerdist Podcast, number 92! #hostful.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast.
With your host, Big Shot Chris Hardwick.
I can't tell you how much Big C has caught on.
Oh, I love it.
It's so weird. Like, you never know what's going to catch on. I mean, instantly when you started saying it, people started calling.
I'm proud.
I can't tell you how many times when I was at the Brooklyn show and people came up after the show. Because I always go out and say hi to people after the shows. They were like, nice job, Big C. And I'm like, that's cancer.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that you don't like it is what, because, you know,
I don't
can't
hate
pick,
it.
You
it
can't
just
pick
makes
your
me
nickname.
Slightly uncomfortable, especially
it's
when
like Team Coco.
Especially when the commercial for the return of Laura Linney's The Big C came out. And I'm like, yeah, Daris, it's but she has terminal cancer.
Name recognition.
The Big C is hilarious. Timmy. The Big C makes me laugh more than anything. Shut up.
Stop it. Why are you so insensitive?
I'm sorry. I just like The Big C.
Damn it, how can you, no one can. Wow, Jonah's really so brave. He's really embraced.
I'm gonna write Big C a letter. Oh, he's writing cancer a letter.
Oh, God, that's so sad.
It's a very appreciative letter. I don't think. What a weird kid.
Yeah, so I'm very excited to have taken that on. So thank you
yeah.
Gentlemen,
you're welcome.
Of course.
Thank
yeah,
you
yeah.
very much.
Anytime. Chris, you have recently been one of LA Weekly's people.
I am a person, it turns out.
Yeah, yeah.
I am a person.
I wasn't sure. I really wasn't sure if you were a robot.
You know,
it's
great. Okay, so the LA Weekly does every year, they do a People of LA issue. And so Nicole Campos included me this year, which was very cool. And we did the photo shoot at Meltdown.
He loves that picture.
I do like the picture. And but what's really funny about it is that, I mean, we were just literally just Kevin Scanlon was a photographer who was a really great photographer. Local guy. And so we're just grabbing all this shit at Meltdown to photograph with like broadswords and, you know, and up in my office, which still looks like an attic space. Gaston has these old Schwinns.
Yeah, he's waiting.
And so I was like, hey, let's just grab the Schwinn. So I grabbed the Schwinn, which is 100 pounds heavier than it looks because it's a vintage bike.
It's actually made of metal.
And so, you know, it's actually made of metal and maybe lead and maybe there's rocks in the lead. So it's really heavy. And so I'm sitting on this bike and we take all the pictures and then the picture that goes up. Of course, all the nerds are like, nice flat tire. The tires are totally flat.
Oh,
on the bicycle.
I didn't notice that.
The tires are totally flat. So yeah. It's sort of funny that I'm perched atop this bike looking borderline douchey and then like flat tires. So that it was actually the flat tire that made me not feel like, what are you trying to do in that picture there, tough guy?
Yeah.
Like, because the flat tire to me is really underscores the whole idea of being a nerd. Yeah. Like, yeah, you can try to be as cool as you want.
Yeah.
Flat tire. Underneath.
Yeah. And it wasn't a purposeful thing. It was just like, it's like, hey, check this out. Hey, look at you, asshole.
It totally perfectly encapsulates what I feel like I've been struggling with my entire life of like, no matter how hard I try to get away from the, you know, like, no, guys, I can be cool sometimes. It's like, just like flat tire. Like that's what I thought made it so gorgeous.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I got this jacket. It's so awesome looking. I'm going to wear it out tonight. And so I was like, hey, the discount tag is still on.
Or it makes a fart sound when you swing your arms.
Yeah. Flat, flat,
frap,
flat.
Frap.
So I stopped wearing cords.
Hey, why does your pant leg say 52-28?
Jesus, I wasn't sure what that number was.
That's a 52 waist, 28 length?
Sure is,
adorable.
Buddy.
Adorable. Listen, guys, there's some big news on the Nerdist front.
Yeah, that's right.
You're both being replaced by robots.
I knew it!
I
told you, I thought
he
puppies.
Did say that.
I thought
he
puppy robots.
Robot robots. Puppies.
Yeah, Robies.
Robies. The Nerdist is, looks like it's going to be a TV show. I made a deal with the BBC who, I mean, all literally just came about from
me wanting Bargain Hunt back
from,
in the year.
Yes. And from me mouth spazzing about, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
You know, like someone from the Doctor Who, Devin Johnson, who became my friend, works in PR at BBC. And when I started blabbing about getting Matt Smith in the podcast, he helped make that happen. I started doing stuff with them. And then, you know, ultimately we had a meeting.
Very organic.
It was very organic. And I think the BBC does an amazing job of they really do a good job of complementing their digital with their broadcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, now we're going to do the Nerdist TV show. And of course, the big question was, are Matt and Jonah going to be on the show? The answer is, of course, I couldn't go anywhere without you guys.
So we'll both be PAs.
Yes. So I expect tall chai lattes every day.
Yeah, you're fired.
You got a big C.
Yeah. God damn it. Somehow big C also stands for big chai.
Big chai. Big chai.
Big chai, big C.
Yeah,
no
people,
water, no
people
water.
Were a flutter on Twitter.
Yeah, really, the response was way more than I thought it was going to be. So I just want to thank everyone who has helped support this show. I mean, like, it really is. I mean, it wouldn't happen if people weren't listening to the show. So thank you. Thank you to the listener, whatever your name is.
Hope I can get the time off from the fruit store.
Well, hopefully we will get you permanent time off from the fruit store.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you guys will be involved with the show. And so congratulations to you guys for being super awesome.
Thank you.
No.
I have a high rate. I have a very high rate.
Oh.
I don't. The rate is very reasonable.
So basically what's going to happen is BBC is launching this thing called Ministry of Laugh. So it's going to be a Saturday night because obviously Doctor Who is going to go into that hiatus chunk where they're going to break up the sixth series.
Now, the Ministry is like a secretary?
Yes.
Oh, phew.
And so the Ministry of Laughs will be these British import comedies. And so I'll be sort of hosting these interstitial things, you know, in between those on Saturday nights. Saturday night is Nerdist night. And then at the end, what will happen later this year is that the Nerdist TV show will then, if everything works out and we make a pilot that isn't assy, that will it will be the show that sort of ends the whole night.
Oh, that's neat.
So
okay, it's comedy
I'd
blog.
Like to say anchors.
The anchors whole the whole night is a bunch of headlines the whole night, if you will. Headlines the whole night.
Tippy tops.
Yeah, tippy tops. So it'll be it'll be sort of an expanded version of the podcast. And my
visual for one.
So you, because people always say videotape the podcast, and I'm always like, no,
gotta kick this die into high gear.
So the basically the idea that I pitched to them was, you know, it'll be a couple segments of like roundtable with whoever our guest is, and then maybe we'll do a stand up segment, and then maybe we'll do a correspondent segment. But my idea would be that we actually record a full podcast with our guest and then just cut the chunks down for the TV version, but then actually make the full audio episode available online so that none of the platforms are cannibalizing each other. You kind of like every platform sort of gets a unique spin on the content.
That's some good synergy, Chris.
Thanks, man. Yeah, you know.
The multi-screen experience.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, from your computer screen to your television, from your TV monitor to your
Maybe we can get an app.
Oh, my God.
Come on, billionaires.
I have to say, the app creation process, even just registering with Apple, I have to curse and then give it up to Apple at the same time. Because every time I submit, there's one thing where they're like, oh, yes, you're registering as a company and you put your name in this one slot, so you have to start over.
Oh.
I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? And it always takes a couple weeks for them to get back to you. So this has literally been months and months, and it happened again. Like, this is literally the fourth time I'm trying to register. But to Apple's credit, a guy based somewhere in Austin, Texas, has called me a couple times and said, listen, I understand your frustration, and I will try to help, you know, get this through quicker for you. So he actually has been very helpful.
Maybe if he spent less time keeping it weird and helping you.
In Austin? He's keeping it weird down there in Austin. No, actually, they're keeping it very bureaucratic down there in Austin when it comes to the app registration process. So that's going on as well.
That's great.
Going on as well.
Who, I just added, who did you spend your morning with?
I spent my morning with George Takei.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I planked George Takei.
You planked him?
I planked him.
Oh, my God.
Because my friend Shira Lazar started doing the show through CBSNews.com called What's Trending, which is a super fun show. And I encourage you to watch it and listen to it, and I encourage other nerds to go on it if you can. And so George Takei and Kevin Smith did a segment as well this morning, and George Takei and I were on the same couch segment. And the planking meme came up.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I have to plank George Takei.
He probably loved it.
I planked him. Well, I didn't plank in it. Yeah, I kind of planked on the couch behind him. So I'm like, I was face down kind of in the nape of his neck, where I fit surprisingly well, I'm gonna say as
well.
He's
my new favorite pop-up on WebSoup.
George is such a great guy. Like, he's such a sweet guy. I love that he's really kind of at the forefront of LGBT rights.
Yeah,
And he is phenomenal.
And he's doing it very, he's very smart when he talks about this stuff, and he's very funny.
He's hilarious.
And he really diminishes all the people that get angry over that.
So we got to get him on that. We got to get him on our show. I'm going to try to make that happen. And then I'll post hopefully by the time this podcast goes up, the George Takei planking picture will be live.
Why? How long is it going to take to develop that picture?
I got to take it down to Fox Photo. I got to drop it off at the kiosk.
So then a couple days.
Yeah, then a week. And then I have to send it out to a lab to get...
Honestly, I
think they call it scanning?
Digitalize.
Yeah, digitalizing. Yeah, I have to get it digitalized. And I think it's digitalized, actually.
Digitalized?
So I'm going to get it digitalized. And there's a room of vacuum tubes that will actually handle the image.
Make sure you put the right punch card in.
Yeah, I got to put the punch cards in.
It's going to be a tic-tac-toe game.
And then, you know, and then I'll just go right through the back door on Falcon's Maze. Guys, I had an amazing New York trip.
You were on Fallon.
I did the Jimmy Fallon show, which was awesome and fun, and he's the best world.
I thought I was. You told me I was the best dude in the world.
Sometimes things come out in moments of passion, Jonah.
All right.
As long as you're okay with it.
If that's passion, I feel so sorry for you. I love you.
It's those orgasms that leak out of your body rather than shoot, where you know, like, I guess I wasn't really that excited about this.
Yeah.
So anyway, had a leaky-gasm.
Leaky-gasm?
Leaky-gasm.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. So the Fallon show was great, and then I did two shows at the Little Field. You guys were heavily requested, so I think hopefully the next time we go back through New York, we'll do a Nerdist podcast live.
Yeah,
that make you feel okay? your career's blown up, and then you got these two little fucking ball sacks hanging around.
I love it. You're my favorite ball sacks. And like actual ball sacks, you hang at different levels. You hang at different levels.
Yeah.
And I love it. And so there's so much support out there for you guys. And Matt, what you really need to understand is that people, you are an inspiration to people who've had thought about losing weight for a long time. I had so many people come up and go, I've lost 20 pounds. And so you have to let Matt know that he has been very helpful
I'm
to me.
I'm an inspiration to people? That's not what the internet told me this weekend.
I know. Hey. I know. Poor Matt, now that you're becoming celebu famous on the internet, now you're a Sewebwoody.
Sewebwoody.
Nah, that's a bad portmanteau. I'm not a fan of it. I'm sure you heard about Matt's.
Yeah, I read
the
some
Onion
AV
Club did a little recap of podcasts, and then a bunch of people were very mean to Matt. You can't take that stuff too personally, and
yeah.
I mean, from someone who does fall prey to that sometimes, you have to. People are a lot of the times people are more inclined to spew out hatred on comment threads,
yeah.
And you have to take into account the types of. Like who these people are, like happy, well-adjusted people do not go out of their way to say the worst things they can think of.
Yeah,
but how bad was it?
Oh, it was terrible.
It was pretty bad. They attacked him, his weight, his girlfriend, his comedic prowess.
Yeah, so pretty much everything that I value in life.
Well, they didn't hit the socks. They didn't even touch the socks.
How could you? They've won the last 8 out of 10.
They can't touch the socks.
They left the sockies alone.
They left the good old socks.
I mean, you know, the sad thing about these people is that they have no idea that they are being typical for the internet. Like, they are literally being typical for the type of vitriolic hate spew that happens online. They're not mad about you. They're mad about their shitty lives. And that you just become a vessel for that so they can unload.
Here's the thing.
Dumbfounded. What?
Look at this.
They are not fit to slurp the 70 pounds of fat you just lost.
Yeah. Look at what they type and then see how many spelling errors there are and then take a few pain points away and then see how many grammatical errors there are and take a few pain points away and then realize that it's just a monkey punching a fucking keyboard.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, unhappiness and anger are greater calls to action than happiness. Yeah. So you have to know that for every piece of shit loser, and I hope if you wrote something shitty on Matt's on the site today, because it's one thing to criticize and say, hey, I mean, it's one thing to give critical, intelligent discourse and say, listen, I think Matt really should work on this. And I mean, but just to say the worst things you can think of, the people that wrote that, I really hope they're listening, are shit slurping cock fucking pieces of douche limbs.
I know
they're douche
limbs. Doesn't sound like it, but Chris wrote that word out.
Douche limbs. No, these people are fucking losers,
man. No, but they were
just
like crazy, like, oh, God, the worst things I could think of.
Because they're miserable. I mean, that is directly proportional to the happiness that is in their lives, which is very little. And
well,
so
I hope they find happiness.
You'll get to
stop
a place.
Making shitty comments on the internet.
You know what? You know, like when I first started putting stuff up online, and you know, you always end up seeing some horrible things said about you. But you can get to a kind of a weird zen place where when I go through comments, I pass by all the ones saying good things. I'm like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Of course you like me. But then I get to the one bad one, and then I just start cracking up. Because I love it, because they're never written well, and they're always funny in the weird, like, fucked up person
way.
With
the golf cart video, there was a lot of that. But that was just like, you know.
But that's not you. That's just something
that
happened.
Somebody getting hit by a golf, getting rolled over by a golf cart, and there were a bunch of comments.
If these people had one molecule of anything interesting going on in their lives, they would not have time to do that.
That's true.
I mean, like, if you really turn a mirror on the types of fail and sadness that these people embody, and I guarantee you they feel it every day, and deservedly so. What you feel does not pale in comparison. They are basically scooping out a piece of their lives and throwing their sad bullshit lives at you, Matt.
Well,
and
thanks.
So it was very hard for me not to go on and try to just start defending you because I care for you like my children.
Yeah,
and so. The more you do this stuff, you cannot go. You can't do it because if you're sensitive,
I never would have found that if someone didn't tweet.
I know,
to me.
Yeah, I know.
That is kind of a weird move.
If you even remotely care about what you do, or you're kind of because a lot of nerdy people are very sensitive.
Yeah,
it's just who we are. Yeah. No matter how much of a Iron Man suit you think you can have, it will still dig into you a little bit because you're like, what did I? Because you put yourself in their position. You go, where would I? What? Why would I ever say that to another human being? But it's there's a depersonalization because they're staring at text and not at these fucking pussies would never say that to your face.
The my the one that really for some reason got to me was like, oh, Matt Myra talking about getting a blowjob reminds me of when Harry Knowles used to go on Ain't It Cool News and talk about his sexual prowess. I find it highly unbelievable. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I wasn't bragging.
I'm the one who brought it up. I'm the one who fucking made him talk about it.
Didn't want to talk about that, but it was funny.
Ah. I'm the one who put lipstick cans in your cams in your apartment, so I know for a fact that it's actually happened.
You know, it's just like Neil Mahoney, the shirt Neil made, is comments when you only care enough to say the very worst.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to say to people like that, like, way to be typical for the internet.
Yeah.
Way to be typical for the internet. Some guy online called me a cocktard because I said the Earth scenes on Thor played out like a sitcom. And that guy is fucking wrong. They did play out like a bad sitcom. Like, are you telling me that when Thor rises back from the dead after basically just stepping in front of a robot and Natalie Portman's reaction of, oh my God, like that's a bad sitcom. That's a bad sitcom.
But did Vicky look at her butt? What?
You mean Vicky the robot?
Yes.
That would be really awesome if Vicky the robot had attacked Thor.
Exactly.
Why couldn't Asgard have that protecting all of their treasures? Vicky the robot.
I was reading about her on Wikipedia once, and apparently she did appearances like at like theme parks and stuff in costume as Vicky.
Sure, why wouldn't you?
Like they would send her out.
Oh, wow.
Why wouldn't you? Anyway, Matthew, I don't want you to feel bad because it's just a testament to the fact that you're putting yourself out there more. And the best you can do is do the stuff you care about and be nice to people. And if people are going
to
shit on you, then there's literally nothing. Here's a great example. My friend Tom, who's the guy that I've been working with, the guy who trains me to jump through hoops. And
Tom J. Dieters.
Shit on the newspaper. Yes. Tom is a great guy, and he's very sweet dude. And he's kind of a spiritual guy and but just very calm and peaceful. And he just made this rock stacking video on the beach. Because he thought, like, oh, it's kind of a Zen thing, whatever. And he put it on YouTube. And one guy found it. And it, like, it literally is just the most peaceful. And this is exactly how the internet works. And someone wrote, are you fucking kidding me? I just wasted 3 minutes of my fucking life, you dumb piece of shit.
Because he expected to see something incredible with rock stacking video.
I don't
video.
Know. Like, you know, so even people who just try to put nice stuff into the world, like someone, some fucking anger mongrels out there that just has to shit, you know, because their lives are shitty. So please don't feel bad about it anymore, Matthew.
Right. Yeah.
You are loved and you are inspiring people. You are inspiring people to live healthier, and that should make you feel good. Jonah.
Let me be the one that
makes
fun of you.
Yes, Jonah's inspiring no one. So you should really.
Exactly. Well, who wants to fucking aspire to be this surly asshole?
I do, Jonah.
See that guy? Some guy online made Team Matt and Team Jonah shirts.
Did they really?
Yeah, he didn't really make them. I think he just made the design. I'll send you the link. It's just like the A in Matt is the Nerdist symbol, and the A in Jonah is the Nerdist symbol.
That's
and then
pretty
I,
great. Yeah.
He tweeted it at us, and then like just a ton of people going Team Matt all the way.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
all the way.
Yeah.
Listen, whatever bad things people are saying about you online, that for me it's 100 times worse.
Oh, I'm sure it's amplified.
So feel sorry for Chris.
Feel sorry for me.
Chris, I'm so sorry.
Feel sorry for me. Chris, I go home every day and cry about it on my bed of cash. It's fine, you guys. It's totally fine.
Chris, you know it's just a bunch of legal notes.
I know. It puts the tender in legal tender. So the point is, be nice to people and do what you love. That's the best you can do in life.
That's what I try.
That's the best you can do in life. But I also want to thank Mike Furman, who did some drop-in sets on my Littlefield shows in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah?
And Rory Albanese, who works on The Daily Show, opened, and he was fucking hilarious.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you see Al Madrigal is on
I know!
Daily
how
show?
Fucking
that's
great
so
is
awesome.
That? I just ran into Al at a Starbucks. Like,
he is?
Like, the week before it happened.
Yeah.
And, I mean...
Senior Latino correspondent, Al Madrigal.
I mean, guys, awesome. If you ever get a chance to see Al Madrigal perform, he is a fucking phenomenal comic.
I did drug us?
He's so goddamn funny.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, I mean, that was a total win for everyone in that scenario of Al getting on The Daily Show.
Yeah, very stoked. I was so excited when I saw that news.
It's awesome.
Benson Interruption Show and Doug Loves Movies were great in New York.
Oh, nice, nice.
Doug sold out two shows at the Gramercy Theater.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was super fun.
That's a lesson to learn from Doug Benson, who just fucking was doing it for so long.
Literally the most productive stoner in the history of stoners.
Yeah. But you know, it's a lot like what you talk about, where you just took that turn into just talking about what you want to talk about and doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
Because it was fun and you were speaking to a specific audience, and he took that turn.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm just going to do a podcast about movies. Mm-hmm. But you're the stoner comic. Yeah, but I like movies too. And now that's insanely popular, and like it's like directed his whole career just being that guy.
I think people really appreciate and recognize organic passion for things.
Yeah.
Because you can't fake that shit week in, week out. Yeah, like you could fake it for a couple months, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But week in, week out, you have to care about what you're doing in order to, you know, keep that level of energy.
Yeah. Juliana has to really care about all these celebrities.
<He's> like, that's funny.
What else happened? I know this episode's me heavy right now because I'm so excited about my New York trip.
Well, he just came back from,
and I just had a bunch of caffeine.
I went
to the SNL season finale.
That's what I wanted to hear about.
Oh shit, really?
That was nuts. That was nuts.
That's awesome.
Furman and I were just standing there in the green room around a lot of really famous people. Olivia Wilde being one of them, and I didn't bother her about coming on the podcast because why would I in person? What she doesn't need to stuff.
Why would
she
I in person?
She's not tall. She's not tiny.
That's true. Oh, she's not. Yeah, she's not a tiny lady. She's not like a Natalie Portman.
I feel like we're about the same height. She's not. Yeah, but I just didn't want to charge it or be like, I'm gonna come on the podcast. As they're escorting me out of 30 Rock.
Chris and I are similarly height, which I like to call lady tall, guy short.
Well, that's the name of your first comedy album. Yeah. Lady tall, guy short.
That's great.
Lady tall, guy short. Anyway, it was a super fun show. And I thought the season finale was really good.
I still yet to watch it. I've been too busy moving.
Not a Timberlake home run.
It was really great. And fucking Seth Meyers, the Weekend Update was phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah, Seth Meyers just knocked it out of the park. I mean, every joke felt like this is a polished. I mean, obviously he just wrote it.
He's a Red Sox fan.
It felt like every joke was a polished bit. He did a really great job. So
I loved his White House correspondence dinner speech.
I didn't see it. How it was good.
It's great. It's great. I loved it. Yeah, really, just took down Trump. Took down that millionaire.
Someone needs to take that millionaire down a few million pegs.
Billionaire, sorry.
Let's make him a millionaire.
Hey guys, you know what I said to him? You're fired. that's what I would say.
You're fired.
I would say you're fired, Mr. Dump.
You know what they should do? They should mash up shows, and they should put Undercover Boss on Celebrity Apprentice. And so then at the end of it, he's like, you're fired. And he's like, no. And then he pulls open his shirt to see his I'm head of NBC Universal badge. Yeah, you're fired. This is Undercover Boss, bitch.
Yeah.
What, this is a CBS program. How'd you get in here?
Because it's on Super Undercover. We had to go undercover on another network.
Oh, that's fair.
Shit, I didn't realize it was another network. Do some research before your improvs, Chris.
Seriously.
Did you see the Center for Disease Control zombie guide?
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
Did you disagree with it?
Oh yeah, there was a lot of wrong, in it. And like people kept on asking me to respond, and I could only really so it was hard to do it in a tweet. But here are some of the key points. She says zombies want brains. They don't just want brains. They want everything. They want to just eat you.
Okay. Out.
Zombie baby. She said her favorite zombie movie was Resident Evil. That's a shitty movie. She says to go to relocation camps or like refugee camps. That's a bad idea. Everyone knows you have to stay away from like a bunch. You can't because there's going to be a lot of people going to these things. And
someone's
going to be infected. Someone's going to be able to hide it. There's always someone that can sneak in somebody else. And then they're going to be infected. And then it's going to just blow up. And then it's all out the window. You gotta learn to be self-sufficient. You gotta go out into the country.
Would you be if you ate out a zombie? Would you become a zombie?
Yeah, if you got their fluids inside of you. Okay. But why would you want to do that, Chris? I mean, eating pussy's gross.
Hey, and it was good. Even dead pussy. You know what I'm saying? What character is this?
Chris Hardwick.
Oh, that's true. That's
me. I always like to think
I do not approve.
I always like I like to think when people make that like those kind of jokes where it's like, who's that? It's just like that's your pure brain coming out.
That's what's
just
coming out. Yeah. That's exactly what's coming.
But yeah, the CDC thing, it's you know, she had some okay points here and there, but it was just a obvious thing to get people excited about the CDC again. Well, yeah,
Lord knows that's been a problem.
When were they excited about the CDC? Yeah.
Maybe during the Cold War.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. But yeah, no thanks.
No?
No thanks. I didn't like it. Didn't like it.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Sorry, you guys.
No, I mean, no thanks. Moving on. Like, that's what you would have said to that.
Yeah. I mean, it's dumb. And someone was telling me on Twitter that I should write a, I would buy Jonah's book if he wrote a zombie survival guide, and said, well, there's already a zombie survival guide that's perfect by Max Brooks. And if I wrote one, it would just be a clever way to throw everyone off what they should really do so I could survive better.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I didn't even thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he does.
All the time. You
Team
know,
Jonah.
I like that was my that was when I was a kid. It's all I used to think about. If like there was a you know, I'm gonna say a bunch of times in my life where my parents forgot to pick me up from school,
sure.
And so as you're just sitting there waiting for you know anybody to come
some
pick
love.
Up, yeah. I just you know I would always start to like, oh, all right, if zombies came from this side of the campus, I would jump over here, over there, and this. There's like I know the janitor keeps his keys in this thing, and then you know, I just different ways to go.
You're always routing your escape plan, basically.
Yeah, always.
I would always do that too, but not from zombies.
Mine was from zombies.
Aliens.
Well, aliens, you're just kind of fucked.
Yeah, I know. Grays and Bigfoot always got to me. Still do. Don't want to be around.
Grays?
Gray aliens. Gray, large-eyed aliens, the typical no-nos.
You mean future humans?
Yeah, future humans. Future humans.
Yeah.
I've heard that before. I don't believe it.
They're future humans.
Do you believe in aliens?
Do I believe that aliens exist? Not particularly.
What are your thoughts about that? I think it's like 20 light years away. There is a inhabitable planet in a solar system. Do you think that could?
Well, it wouldn't be in the solar system if it's 20 light years away. Come on, Jonah.
No, in
okay.
In another,
I think
galaxy.
There are certainly places where the conditions could be correct to have some sort of inhabitable light with a similar atmosphere.
They would have to be insanely correct for us to be able to breathe the.
Yeah. Also, yes. It would have to. I mean, it would have to be as you know far along as we are. For you know, the planet would have to be 4 billion years for life to evolve in a similar fashion.
And how would we know? What if a form of life that? I mean, I think we have this idea of what we would recognize as life.
Yeah.
But you know, it could be some sort of vapor creature. I mean, like who knows?
Would we,
it could be some sort of sentient vapor.
And would we be able to see it? What if it's on some sort of different
spectrum that we can't? Yeah.
Guys, exactly. What if it inhabits dark matter? Oh my god!
Oh my god, you guys!
Oh my god!
You blew my mind.
If
you want to listen to a great podcast where they talk about things like this, listen to Star Talk Radio. Neil deGrasse Tyson hosts Star Talk Radio. This week's guest was Jon Stewart.
Really?
Yeah, Eugene Merman's on a lot. It's a good show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Video killed Star Talk Radio.
Star. Stars.
Oh, Star Talk Radio.
What else fun going on this week, nerds?
What'd you do on Sunday, Chris?
Flew home.
Then
I stopped by Matt Myra's day off.
Fucking
great open mic. I jotted down 7 quick minutes and hopped up, and it was genuinely a phenomenal experience.
Yeah, I was gonna go. I was busy moving.
Like 50 people.
Yeah. Oh, there was more than 50 people there.
Were there?
Oh yeah. We had the entire front full. And then there was like 3 rows of standing people in the back.
Oh, awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was really good. It was a good place to work out new material. Yeah. So I'm going to call the Matt Brongers and Kyle Kinanes of the world and say, like, you got to come, like, try stuff.
Yeah, if they come, I'll put them up, you know, reasonably early, and then they can get the full.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was great. It was great. I actually got a new little chunk in development.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
He does. It's enjoyable.
Why? Why, thank you. So, yes, well done on getting that going.
Yeah, it was crazy. Doing it by myself, it was difficult.
Are you finding, are you getting some to work out some new stuff?
I am. I've got, yeah, I am. And that's great. I've done, I did a set, you know, I've done the first 2 weeks I did sets. This week that you saw was so busy that I just sort of did stuff in between comics. Yeah. Like I would just throw a joke and see how it did. But it's been great.
I know a guy. You know, there's a Wednesday night stand-up show at Meltdown, too. I know a guy.
Real exclusive.
Yeah. So
exclusive.
You're going to have to make a videotape.
Did you hear who stopped by last week?
No.
Daniel Tosh.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Did he go up?
He went up.
You let Daniel Tosh go up at your show? I'm kidding. It's fine. He's
funny.
That was what I said.
Him and Kumail have the same management.
Chris, how far into the show are we?
32:17.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, he stopped by. Jimmy Carr stopped by and did a set.
That's so awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. Michael Ian Black is stopping in this week. It's just lots of stop-ins now.
Tosh is like sneaking in the Nerdist Industries.
It was weird. But you know, was appreciative, and you know, didn't care when he went up. Just kind of kept.
What did he say about fat people that might get hit by golf carts?
he gave Matthew quite a tongue lashing when they showed Matthew's golf cart video, which they got permission for, right, Matt?
No, that's weird. They didn't, which is odd because I own the license to that.
How about that?
And have gotten paid by numerous companies, including Viacom for the OTV network.
What's weird is if you ask them,
they might have paid you.
Yeah. Instead of
some
just
of that
kinda,
does fall on you, Matthew.
I really thought,
all of it, really.
No, I thought they'd
when you
go,
think about it.
Listen, I thought they would just use it, go free use, and then I would never see it again after 2 weeks. But I've seen it a lot. And,
well, you need to email them.
What the fuck do I email?
We will get
Viacom.
You an email.
Did you say you dealt with Viacom for the MTV thing? Same fucking corporation.
Oh, but now they have a different vendor. The way they pay out people is fucking
Matthew,
insane now.
That show hired one of our writers away from Web Soup week one, so we know people who work on the show.
Yeah, you can easily just
we'll easily get an email for you and just say, hey, you've been airing this clip and I didn't agree to it, and you know, so please stop or give me money.
Yeah, and they'll give you money. That's their setup.
Yeah.
They're not unreasonable people. Yeah, no, Web Soup, like, we clear everything before and then they clear if they have to.
Yeah,
it's just different. It's just different ways of doing it.
I like the way you guys do it more.
Yeah, well, it makes the show sometimes near impossible.
Oh my god, tracking people down to explode airbags into their balls.
Listen.
I mean,
yeah. Oh wait, so it's not you? You
guys
didn't take the video. It was your camera, but your friend shot it.
I've been meaning to talk to you about the season 3 opener. You guys had a clip in that with me, and you never got permission.
Oh, it was fair use.
Fair use. Yeah. We only used it the one time. Yeah. Sorry.
Adorable. That's anyway. Cool though. I'm glad the Meltdown show is going so well.
Yeah, it's really I'm digging it.
Pretty good. I mean, Sunday's really good.
But yours is an open mic, mine's a show. Team Matt. Point, Team Matt.
I don't know why. You know, so many people.
You're doing yourself in, Jonah.
Yeah. I
guess it's just because people have to side with things. I've said this about Tosh a million times. He's a funny guy. Like, there's no rivalry between us. Like,
no, he even, like, I told him that I work on Web Soup. He's like, oh, that's cool. And then, you know, he said, oh, so you know Brian Rubenstein? I said, yes, I do.
He's totally fine. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, we have our point of view. They have their point of view. You can watch either show. You can watch both shows. There's plenty of room for everyone.
Unless you have DirecTV.
Unless you have DirecTV, then you can only watch Daniel's show. But I think Daniel does a nice job. There's no, like, weird, you know, whatever. Talk about, the guy's been around comedy for so, it's not like he doesn't deserve to have a hit show. Like, he's fucking... He paid his dues. Like, he toured a fuckload, and you know, like, he should have a hit show. So I don't, whatever.
Now we're gonna have a hit show. So whatever, it's cool.
Chris is gonna have a hit show that we're on.
That's more fair.
Guys, we all go up together. I just get a private room that you're not allowed in.
Yes.
I get a panic room that you're
not in. That's what you call this dressing room.
I get
panic
a panic
room
with robot concubines so that I can at least, yeah.
That's
nice.
Cool.
Let's do a couple questions.
You want to do a couple questions?
That are comments.
So they're
questions
that are
comments that are
questions?
Yeah.
So wait, if it's a question,
but it's also a comment.
But it's also a comment.
Then it's a question and a comment.
It's a quement.
It's a quement, right.
So we're just settling on quement.
Right. That's, by the way, a question and a comment.
So.
And a quement! This is from Nate Soloway. Chris, do you feel like Shipmates prepared you for this turn in your career? Absolutely. Absolutely.
You got to show someone the very bottom before they can go towards the top. Let's just say Chris grabbed a life vest that day.
And I just kept expecting a Shipmates, like just like the end of the abyss where that alien craft just comes up and brings me back to the top. I've been floating down.
Yeah.
It
and
was
you,
like,
then you puke out all that
started,
liquid
when I started
oxygen.
Hosting Shipmates, yeah, it did feel like I was getting used to breathing fluid again. Yeah. Body breathe fluid for 9 months. Just you gotta remember. Shipmates was actually a fun show to do.
I enjoyed it.
From what I remember of it, I was drinking a lot in those days. But okay, so there was that. And then being the outside commentator on the couple that is Matt and Jonah, how do you I feel good. It's fun to watch
Twitter,
you guys.
If we ever on Twitter fight with each other sometimes, very briefly, they fucking love
sometimes
it.
It's sort of like sometimes this show feels like ferret legging where I have tied a burlap sack to my around my ankles and then just drop the two of you in there. Just let you run around and go crazy.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of fair legging.
It's fun.
It's a thing I do.
It's adorable. Just because you guys love each other so much. No, oh wait, I didn't read this right. Being the outside commentator on the couple that is Matt and Jonah, or Mona, as my wife and I call them when we listen to host
okay,
the podcast.
I'll take that.
Yeah,
I'll
you guys
that.
Got your.
I like how more of my
Star
name
Magazine
is in it.
Celebrity mashup.
More of my name is in it. That's why I like that.
It's good.
Well, you know.
Mona.
You are,
it is M-O-N-A-H.
Mm-hmm. That's mostly mine.
Well, bigger asshole, bigger mm-hmm. name.
Wow.
Yeah.
I started calling him Vagina last week.
Oh, that
yeah,
would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah, Vagina.
I like that.
Vagina.
Good call, Big C.
We're looking forward to the Arlington and Draft House shows, the Draft House next month. Yeah, going to D.C.
Looking forward to hearing about that.
Do you have a local opener guy in mind for that one?
A local opener guy. I don't know yet, actually.
Hampton Yount.
Okay.
Hilarious guy. Opened up for me in the Sklar's when we were out there. He lives out here. He's actually going to be back in Virginia doing shows. He's a hilarious comic. You'll love him. The Sklar's will vouch for him. Boom.
All right. As soon as I get that Sklar voucher.
Yeah.
Okay. I see all the paperwork in order here.
He heard you were going to be in town, and then like he asked like the Draft House guys, and they're like, yeah, you're totally in if he approves it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I hereby approve thee, Hampton Yount.
Yeah. Good guy.
Well done.
Cut that out of the podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
What's the time index?
It's this young upstart. that felt weird. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, you're not at all. Listen, I totally weird. Trust your recommendation.
Yeah, he's a good kid.
I totally trust your recommendation. If he's not funny, though, then you're off the show and he'll never work again. But other than that, it's like I have the power to do that.
Yeah.
I totally have the power
You'll
to do that.
He'll never work again.
Like, ever since Chris got on that other cable channel, it's just...
Like he's really thinks he has control over things.
Ever since
DirecTV
didn't get rid of BBC America.
Yeah. I know. it's really funny.
I had an idea. If someone listening wants to make it, I wanted them to make a fake advertisement for a show called Costanza, and it's Bill Cosby and George Costanza both wearing sweaters and going on adventures together. So if someone could make that, I'd really appreciate
it. Who is
it?
What is it now?
Costanza, Bill Cosby and George Costanza.
Oh, again with the Jell-O pudding. all right, Carlina Garvach. Oh. That is a great name.
Blah, blah.
Carlina Garvach, Professor of Defense Against the Dark Arts. Carlina Garvach. hi, guys.
Carlotta Valdez.
Listen to the Acid Party Podcast. Was dreaming of my own cheat day. I've gone from 300 pounds to 175 pounds. Excellent.
Holy shit.
22% body fat, so I've got a shitload of muscle. I'm not done, though. These last 10 pounds are killing me. I'm the only girl who goes to the weights rather than the cardio machine. I go running outside, too. Anyway, got a cheat day coming up. Can't decide what to go for. I eat Primal for my diet, but when cheat day comes, anything goes. I live in the UK. Nah, that's they
good.
Have beef-flavored potato chips there. I'm a bit cursed by geography. Any suggestions?
Well, if there's any Mexican places around, go get some tres leches cake.
No, there might not be any Mexican place. Well, then maybe there's a... it'd be a delicacy there.
Yeah, it would be. Tres leches cake is a good way to go, though.
Okay, that's three milks?
It's just, it's like basically a vanilla cake soaked in cream.
Oh my gosh.
It's incredible.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, it is good.
What are some of your cheat day and enjoyments?
They get weirder as the weeks go on. Like last week I decided that I would
seal pups,
eat
live
half,
seal
half,
pups.
Half a block of cheese and crackers. Cheese
what
and
kind
crackers.
Of cheese?
Actually, sharp cheddar.
Oh, so you went all out.
Yeah. Sharp cheddar cheese.
Yeah, that sounds real weird and adventurous. Sharp cheddar and crackers.
That's what I wanted.
You're on the Bastille diet.
Sometimes what'll happen is I'll get up
the prisoner.
I'll get up in the morning at like 7:30 and make brownies immediately.
So they're ready for when you...
And then they're
What do you
ready.
Do for breakfast on your cheat days? Just the eggs and...
I used to do that. Now I just walk to Starbucks, get an Americano, a cheese Danish, and a chocolate croissant.
So you don't even do the protein
don't
in the morning
anymore?
Don't
even do the protein in the morning.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. Well, I do the protein the rest of the week. I do the protein. Sorry, guys.
That's okay. So what are some other cheats that then?
Soda. I'm glad to finally be able to have soda on the weekend. Like a retro Mountain Dew that has real sugar in it.
Excellent.
Get one of those. I want ice cream this weekend. I'm really looking forward to ice cream.
Pizza is usually a good way to go.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, you're in London, so you have like you have so many European delights right there. Like you could probably get great cannolis. You could probably get great.
Plus, you get those
like
cookies,
like fresh baguettes.
Is she in London or is
she's in London?
Okay, well then, yeah, I'm sure she has access to everything. It's a city,
they have
right?
those cookies, you know, that have like the red plaid on them. You
right,
know, those are good.
That's a good idea. Oh, you know what they have in England that's great is they'll make a pizza and then crack an egg on the middle of it.
Done.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eating it. Where is it?
You can get those at the farmer's market.
You could just make a pizza and crack an egg on it. Like
fuck you, Chris.
It's not some magical British egg that we don't have here.
Yeah, they have them near his work at the farmer's market.
They're eggs the queen lays herself.
Do you know what I started making?
Royal eggs.
On the diet that I could eat on the diet, I started making turkey burgers, and I'll put an egg on it, and then just romaine lettuce.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Put an egg on it.
Delicious.
Put a bird on it.
Here's a comment from Eli Sweet on Nerdist.com.
Quemen.
It's a comment for Jonah.
Help.
Are you familiar with the song by Jonathan Colton, R.E. Your Brains? Knowing his penchant for zombies and hip, in parentheses, stir music. I imagine so, but if not, it can be found here. JonathanColton.com/primer/listen. Colton, awesome. I recommend all things Colton. So if you don't know that, thoughts on other zombie tunes? Maybe you could give us a top three zombie songs.
Okay, well... I like Jonathan Colton a lot. I've seen the video for that. It's about this guy locked in his office, in an office building, and there's zombies outside wanting to eat him.
Okay.
So it's regarding your brain. We want to eat it.
Sure.
It's a catchy song. It's a good song because it's Jonathan Colton and he's a good songwriter, but none of it makes sense. Zombies wouldn't know how to write a letter. They don't want just brains. It's just, so there's a lot of things wrong with it. It's a great world.
It is a comedy song, though. It's a
comedy song.
He's bending some of the rules for comedy sake.
Yeah. It's a good song. It's a good song.
You sound like my dad when the professional bowler, Billy Hardwick, when I was like, what'd you think of Kingpin? He was like, you know, it was all right, but I hustled in though. I know what the hustling bowling lifestyle. I'm like, Dad, it's fictionalized.
Your dad hustled?
There aren't Amish bowlers too. Oh yeah, my dad was.
Why can't we have him on the podcast?
My dad used to sneak out of his head because my grandfather was kind of a strict. Asshole. And so he my dad would sneak in when he was like 16-17. My dad would sneak out of the house after he had gone to bed and go fucking bowl all night, bowl hot games, like bowl for money.
Awesome.
And he would hustle people, and he said one of the last time he ever hustled someone, I think it was I almost feel like they were carny workers or something. It was some insane story. And my dad said he was a 150 average bowler, and so the guy like set a gun on the table, and my dad was like, "What's the gun for?" And the guy goes, "That's just to make sure you're a 150 average bowler."
Holy shit!
Yeah, so
that's
pretty
amazing.
Pretty hardcore.
Yeah, you gotta actually grab some stories from him.
Oh, he's got some. I don't think he'd want to share.
Let's put it on wax. Get him in here.
All right, we'll put it on wax
on
cylinder.
Wax!
All right, so three more zombie songs for me. Top
three
zombie songs.
Zombie songs.
Are there three in the world?
Shit, about five or six.
Does this count the album Odyssey and Oracle by the band Oracle by
the
band
zombies?
The Zombies?
Well,
it's a fucking phenomenal.
That's
album.
A great album.
Odyssey
zombies
and
are
Oracle.
Great. You know, Matt Dwyer brings this up a lot, where he always talks about everyone's always up in arms about Beatles or Stones. It's I think for really like a lot of people that really
Kinks
really
and Zombies.
Do, Kinks and Zombies is kind of the I still listen to Kinks and Zombies so much more than I listen to Stones or Beatles.
Beatles guy. I'm a Beatles guy.
I'm a huge, of course I'm a Beatles guy. Great.
Yeah.
But Kinks and Zombies are awesome too.
So way to go. There's just so much more there.
You know, it's interesting, Wick, because I was just the other night, and I think I talked about this on Benson's podcast. I watched the last 20 minutes of what I think is one of the greatest movies of the 80s that is rarely ever, that I feel like is rarely mentioned.
Space Camp. Yeah, go ahead.
It's not Space Camp.
All right, fine.
Despite the Leah Thompson connection. But when people talk about like, oh, the greatest movies of the 80s, you know, like there's always a handful of them. And I feel like this one never gets mentioned. And I feel like it changed the way
comedy films were made, and that's 3 o'clock High.
Oh, 3 o'clock High gets lumped into a lot of those teen 80s movies.
It is one of the fucking best movies of the 80s.
It's one of the, it's so fucking great. It's great filmmaking. It's fucking like bizarre.
I feel like it's, you still see its influence today, like those crazy whip pans and all that. It was a lot of shit that was not being done.
Yeah. When they follow him from up above into the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then there's like, you know, when he has the guy grabs his shirt.
Yeah.
And then when he gets back to his desk, you still see that his shirt has just popped out. There's so many
great.
Cool...
I've never seen it.
Casey Simasco. It's fucking awesome. And Paul Feig's in it a little bit too.
Okay. Yeah.
And so if you're a young kid and you watch the movie now, you go, yeah, I've seen this kind of filmmaking before. It's like, yeah, because they did it first. Like, you have to know that movie was groundbreaking and a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, my friend Donald, like a guy I grew up with, that was his movie. He's like, 3 o'clock High is the fucking, like, the best movie from the 80s. It's so good. It's so fucking good. Zombie songs. There's the one that they showed on the web soup the other day. Zombie bitches kicking people's ass. And the guy ZZ Bottom.
Yep.
ZZ Bottom. That's a good one.
Furman and I have a zombie love song that we play at Halloween.
I don't think I've heard that one.
Really? It's kind of a jaunty, kind of Rufus-y Wainwrighty tune.
Rufus-y Wainwrighty.
It's a little Rufus-y Wainwrighty. Yeah, we've never recorded it though that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I had a zombie song called "Meet Me at Home Depot" because that was like, you know, one of the things
you
wanted.
Good place to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you have all the zombies outside trying to get work. you gotta throw them on. Will lift stones for brains. Yeah, we used to. Oh, I should find that. I should find the zombie love song and post it somewhere. That was the year we did. I think I dressed up as Zombie Greatest American Hero.
God,
that sounds familiar.
Zombie's Greatest American Hero.
I do.
Loves it.
I really
do.
Do
anything.
that's when
they would play that song. He would wear the Greatest American Hero.
That was the first time we played.
Yeah,
that
there
song.
Was like there was all this exposition before you got to the song about like how he was trying to make
that
a comeback.
That was so long ago. I was fat, and years later. Patton was like, yeah, I thought it was so funny the way you played Greatest American Hero and you stuffed the suit full of pillows. I was like, well, no, those were pillows of fat. Like, they were on my body. And he was like, no, no, no. And then he tried to backfill. He's like, no, I mean, you know, man, it's like whatever you put in there. And I was like, no, that was like 4 a.m. pizza.
Eesh.
Did you feel kind of bad about it even? Like, because like Jonah and Deanna, they were saying how they were looking at pictures from Sketchfest and how like huge I was during the Zach podcast. And I was like, oh, thanks.
You didn't react like that at all. You were like, I know, thanks.
Yeah, no, well, in my internal monologue was sadness.
Why?
I don't know, I felt bad about being that guy, too.
Oh, come on.
Well, anyway.
You gotta get over that. See, when I see pictures of myself as a kid, I start screaming. That fat kid I was kept me from getting laid for so long.
You know what is kind of a fun thing to do? This is something that Janet and her friend Kit, it was a quick meme that they would do for a little while, but just knowing that I had lost weight and that I used to be fat, they used to like to go, hey, you used to be a fat piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I sure was. No, really, you were a fat piece of shit. Like, I was.
Dan Mintz does that to me still to this day.
Oh, really?
He's all, are you going to call your album Stand Up Fattity?
You mean, here comes your Dan,
Hello.
Mintz.
Yeah, Dan Mintz. Hey, no,
hey, Biko, one of the EPs from Web Soup, trying to press his wiener up against the radio, the glass of the radio.
Sounds
station.
About right. Sounds about right.
Yep.
God, they were great in that the Big Owl's Pizza sketch. It was so fun.
So, yeah, Brad and Boyd are hilarious. We really have to get them on this. We really have to get them on this.
I think they'd do great.
I think they would, too.
I like Brad on Twitter a lot. Mr. Brad Stevens.
Yeah. It's good.
Follow him.
At Mr. Brad Stevens. He's a head writer, showrunner of Web Soup. He's also the Firsties guy.
Firsties! We'll have our PA do that next time. Just like, hey, could you get some equipment together for us?
So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. I wanna, 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 w If you want to be my equipment. No, don't ever again! You can see the all caps tweets on that.
Stop doing the thing.
Stop it.
Stop hanging out with your friends.
Noodle stories.
Jonah, this is from... Oh, you started it now. Jonah, this is from Taylor Ann on Nerdist.com/Clements.
Yeah, what's
Jonah,
up?
Jonah, I know you're a huge zombie genre fan. I was wondering if you had heard of or read the book Warm Bodies by Isaac Marion. My friend has been raving about it nonstop for days, and even though I'm not big on zombies, I'm actually considering reading it and wanted your opinion.
You know what? I've heard a lot of good things about it. I've been meaning to grab it. Haven't read it much. But yeah, so I will let you know. You let me know how it is. Bronger, Matt Bronger told me, you know, like I got, there's like this series of zombie books I really got to read.
Matt Bronger on Twitter.
Yeah, but he started describing the kind of zombies they were, and I started, you know, feeling less interested.
Zombie snob.
I am. I really am. If I'm a hipster about anything, it's zombies.
All right. This is from Paul on nurse.com/Clements. Serious question. Serious question.
Oh, shit. Matt, pay attention.
This is actually for Matt. Is there a rift between... Yeah, put your fucking iPhone down. Is there a rift between regular baseball stat nerds and fantasy baseball players in the same way that pen and paper role players look down on LARPers? Really, I didn't know that. And S&M enthusiasts hold furries in contempt. I'm honestly curious here. I feel like Paul has opened a lot of worm cans in that one small paragraph.
Yeah.
So let's just focus on the one thing, like the main point of the treatise.
Which is the point that he called it a serious question.
Like the heavy stat guys that like develop these like crazy stats like VORP, which is value over replacement player, things like these newer stats that are developed from these crazy complex equations that they do with batting average, slugging percentage, on base percentage, all that stuff. Those guys play fantasy baseball, definitely. What there is a rift is between the lazy fantasy baseball player and the fantasy baseball player that knows their shit and knows what they're doing and knows how to set lineups. Get value for pitching. Like if you can pick up a pitcher that's going to just have like two starts that week and then dump them, you know, there's a lot of people that make moves. And then there are these guys who you go and you look at their team lineup in your league and they have like five guys starting that are clearly on the disabled list and should be on the DL. And you know, you get a little annoyed at those people.
So they're almost kind of stepping outside what they are allowed. But I mean, but it is fantasy baseball, right? So
it you is should be fantasy able to do baseball, whatever you want. But you should be able to do whatever you want. But you're clearly,
I should be able to put fucking Gandalf the Grey in the goddamn outfield if I want to, right? Yeah. Fantasy?
You're clearly not paying attention, though.
Right.
If you have five guys in your lineup that aren't playing, you know, for the team. Like, they should be on the DL or dropped, and you should have picked
them.
So
you're more of a stats nerd than a fantasy guy.
Well, I play fantasy baseball.
But you play by stats rules.
Well, I play fantasy baseball while absorbing all the stats I can to get me, you know, best. And what sucks is this year I'm in a division with a lot of really good teams.
Yeah,
the
I feel
other
for
division,
you, man.
The
that
other
is
division,
rough.
Though, if I was in the other division, I'd be in second place.
It's the worst
place.
Problem anyone's ever had.
But in my division, I'm in fifth place.
That's fucking... How do you get up in the morning?
Well, fast, because my leg starts hurting.
God damn it.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I love fantasy baseball. Next year, I think I'll start a league and I'll say, "Hey, listeners, you want to join the league with me?" And then,
you should totally do that.
I'll have a Nerdist baseball league.
I'm not opposed to. I mean, listen, your mutant powers are different than mine and Jonah's, and you can compliment that. So if you want to start picking up the slack, so we can talk to some of the sports and stats nerds out there.
I would love to.
I rescind my previous comments of never talk about sports on this show. I'm starting to have an appreciation for. Not that I'm going to follow it,
but
I have an appreciation for the nerdery of it.
But it's beyond nerdy. Like, I think you kind of are underselling or underestimating how nerdy baseball statistics are.
Yeah, no, I mean, the word statistics kind of tips that off.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm all for it.
Like, the fact that Tim Lincecum just passed Christy Mathison, like, Christy Mathison, who pitched his last game.
Start a group
like
on the notes. Start a stats group on the notes.
You should start a little mini weekly sports nerd.
No, I don't know if anybody would listen to that.
Yeah, that's a good way of thinking.
I
like that attitude you got there. No, no one will
leave. Hey, if you listen, he just went part time. Let him do one thing at a time,
no
Jonah.
One
thing at a time.
No, if you want really good sports podcasts, I would say listen. First of all, listen to Sklar Bro Country because the Sklars are fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to BS Report with Bill Simmons, because again, Bill Simmons is hilarious and knows his shit about basketball and baseball, and he has great people on like Chuck Klosterman and Carolla's on there a lot, so on and so forth. That's a great sports podcast. And then if you want to really get into it, fantasy focus baseball podcast on ESPN.com is really good for fantasy baseball and fantasy football once football starts, but whatever.
Is there fantasy cricket?
I'm sure there is. There
fantasy
is.
Bowling.
Oh.
We all over fantasy bowling.
There's fantasy golf.
Really?
Yeah.
How is it which a I fantasy played one thing year. If it's just, do you have to have a team of guys
yeah,
then?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
No, you're getting blown. By a woman dressed up as Slave Leia.
Then Osama bin Laden dies.
Yeah, that's my fantasy football league. I'm actually not playing. I'm just getting blown by
my fantasy
by
is
Slave
that it's
Leia.
In a more of an interesting sport.
What's that?
My fantasy baseball team is yeah, never mind.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
I've gotten a lot of tweets.
I got you.
I've Thanks. Gotten a lot of I'm tweets sorry. From people who've checked out the baseball documentary, the Ken Burns thing on Netflix, and have thanked me.
I doubt they've even finished it. That thing takes a year to watch.
Well, it's not. Yeah, it is. It's long, but it's interesting. Even if you don't like baseball, it's
no,
interesting.
It's just too long. Like, I really like World War II, and I couldn't fucking get through his World War II documentary.
Yeah, well,
I really like World War II.
No, it's like it's like
World War II was awesome.
No, it was a really interesting war.
It was very interesting.
But you know, but I tried to watch a documentary about it just so. That's why it goes to Flatbush about the Brooklyn Dodgers. It's a great it's a great baseball documentary.
That's exciting.
Talking baseball, Mattingly and Canseco.
Bringing it back to
Mattingly and Canseco.
Is that what he says?
How's Hank Aaron doing? All right, I don't know.
Hammering Hank Aaron.
How's Jolton Joe?
How's
Jolton
Honus Joe Wagner dead. Doing this season? Is he pitching all the ballies?
Honus Wagner was second.
How are the Racine Jonah. Peaches doing this year? Are they doing
Racine
good?
Racine peaches.
The Racine Bells. The Rockford
Peaches.
You guys, if you're gonna reference a league of their own, do it correctly.
All right, Matt. No crying in baseball.
You're gonna lose.
This was a lot of fun. This was fun for me. I hung out with Allison Hayslip last night, and we're having dinner, and I started talking about Doctor Who, and she was like, "Oh, I've been thinking about getting into it." And I'm like, "We're gonna leave this dinner, and we're gonna go to your place, and we're gonna stream some Doctor Who."
Nice.
I showed her the first two episodes of the new series with Chris Eccleston, and she loved him. So she is now a Doctor Who fan. I feel like when you can convert a girl to Doctor Who. Like, I fucking
something
deserve...
about your tone was kind of rapey. What? We immediately left dinner.
I grabbed her by the hair, dragged her through the dirt to her house, where I tied her up on the couch, pried her eyes open, and forced her to watch two episodes of Doctor Who. There was nothing sexual, but it was all.
There
was
rarely
all,
is with was Doctor Who.
But that made me. I felt very. You feel
vindicated, right? When you like someone, or rather, like something, and someone else. Finds that thing as enjoyable as you.
Boy, there's nothing worse than when you're, man. I remember when I was a teenager, and did we talk about this in the podcast where I had a bunch of my cool friends over, and I was trying to show them the part in the Transformers, the animated movie where Galvatron destroys Starscream, and I was like, I think this is so fucking cool. You guys are gonna think this is awesome. And then he transforms into this laser cannon and just disintegrates him. Crickets. I mean, also, my family lived out in a development where there were no other houses, so there were actual crickets and prairie dogs. But yeah, that was a bummer moment. That was a bummer moment.
The emotional toll.
Can I take a second? And of course I can. I can do whatever the fuck I want. Carvin gave us a bunch of sweet speakers for the Meltdown Space.
Thank you so much, Carvin.
Like, we needed to go out. Like, we were borrowing someone's speakers, and they had to take them back.
Mike Chillions,
The Carvin guys, like, from a couple doors down on Sunset were like, yeah, we'll totally outfit you. And they gave us... They totally tricked out the space with new speakers.
If someone wants to give us a good projector that maybe works wirelessly.
Hang on. I'm still talking to Carvin. Carvin, you make really great electric guitars. And if you felt like giving a left-handed one to the Meltdown so they have it to use sometimes.
Franklin Mint, you guys put out some cool stuff on gold.
I love your tiny Aston Martin, your die-cast.
Hot girls. You're so pretty. Give me pussies.
You should make greeting cards. Hot girls, you are so awesome. Open it up. .. Give me pussies. You didn't even say your. Like, you just said give me pussies.
Give all of them.
Just can I have some pussies? Just give me some pussies.
Pussies.
Hey,
so
girls,
hot.
Give me some pussies.
I just want pussies, guys. I just want pussies.
Joni, you want to go out and get some pussies tonight?
I'm going to get all the pussies
all
tonight.
All the pussies?
Chris.
You're going to get all the pussies?
Yeah.
How many pussies are you going to get?
You know, name a number.
On a scale from zero to all the pussies.
All of them.
Really?
All of the pussies, Chris.
That is awesome.
Chris, it's like a lot of people, a lot of guys go out there, they get two pussies, they get like five, maybe 15 if they're lucky.
You're going to get all the pussies.
I'm going to get all the pussies.
Well, Joan, is there ever such a thing as too much pussy?
Who's this guy? Who's this guy right here?
He doesn't even know.
No, I get all the pussies. I am a cat collector.
Collector.
That sounds like
Don't take them out of the Mylar. Don't take those cats out of the Mylar.
We should have on the show on BBC America, we should have a star in a reasonably priced car. Just like Top Gear does.
Hey, let's not try to program my fucking show already, Matthew. We haven't even shot it yet.
Yeah.
Essentially, can we just do Top Gear?
Yeah. Okay. You just want to do Top Gear and Bargain Hunt.
Can we be the happy... Mitchell and Webb look?
Yes. The Mitchell and Webb look.
Number Wang. Look.
I want to quickly promote my friend Ben Blacker was hosting the 826 writer series at Meltdown on Sundays, and then Nerdist kind of took it over with part of the proceeds still going to 826, but we just sort of took over the promotion and everything, and so we moved the show to it was at 5 o'clock. I think we may start shifting it to 6 o'clock on Sundays for people, but Nerdist writer series at Meltdown. And he's got some great, like last week he did a songwriter series and he had Michael Penn and Sarah Watkins and Sean Watkins from Nickel mm-hmm. Creek. And this next week he's got a guy named Doug Petrie who wrote for Buffy and, Michael Green who did Green Lantern and Josh Friedman who worked in the Sarah Connor Chronicles. And it's really just these panels where it's just about the writing process and sort of helps young writers, you know, like get advice from successful writers.
Yeah.
So I encourage people to go check that out. If you go to meltcomics.com, you can get all the info.
And stick there. Around.
Stick around for Matt Myra's day off.
Yeah.
Sign up at 7:30, show at 8.
Sign up might be closer to 7:15 just because I got to get that cut off at 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I'll tweet about it.
Great.
I can't wait.
At Matt Myra on Twitter.
Anything else
before we sign off? As they used to say in the radio?
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
Kind of a fizzle out, huh?
Really? So you're going to enjoy all those pussies?
Oh, Chris, you have no idea.
Enjoy your pussito.
Pocito.
Pocito.
Un pocito.
Un pocito más.
Un pocito.
No. Anyway, congratulations, Chris, on all your stuff.
¿Dónde está pocito?
Thank you. Congratulations to you guys for getting on the Nerdist pilot.
Well, you know, Matt's been putting in a lot of work, so.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
I have.
So that's my other favorite thing. You said someone said on the AV thread that.
I'm just on.
The only reason you're on the show is because you do the tech. Matt does not do the tech on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Chris does all the tech on the show. It's only the last two episodes I've sent you and been like, Matt, I don't have time. Will you please get this ready?
And I'm glad to help.
Yeah. I have to
relinquish some of my control freakishness.
But the other thing they said was, in that same thing, they said the only reason I'm on comedy and everything else and this, which I haven't been on comedy and everything else in a year and a half.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no, you're on here because we love you and you're funny and because you bring a whole other type of nerdism to the fold.
Yeah,
we appreciate it.
We did it, guys.
All right.
We did it together.
And we're not going to stop.
Ever.
Ever.
This episode?
Nope.
Whoa.
No. All right, let's do that now. Enjoy your burrito.
What are we doing? Stopping the episode?
Yeah. He already stopped it.
Oh.
Got a lot of growing up to do, Matt.
Damn it.
Sorry, guys. Team Matt.
Why is there no Team Chris?
Because your team is Nerdist. Your team is you have your own t-shirt.
Point taken.
Well, they're not even real t-shirts. The guy just like put the graphics on
a t-shirt shaped
black thing. Like it was just because it was during one of like I made fun of Matt and then the guy's like, these gotta be made for people to take sides.
Is that exactly how he sounds?
Yes.
That's
how he sounds.
I think you just lost a bunch of Team Jonas right there, my friend.
Are you still recording?
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
What?
Now they all know.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast was brought to you by GoToMeeting, the award-winning web conferencing service. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com, promo code Nerdist.
Girls Fight Back is the world-renowned personal safety and empowerment-based self-defense company that teaches women and people of all gender identities how to live confidently while being their own best protector. As a leading voice on violence prevention and empowerment for over 20 years, Girls Fight Back has trained over 1 million people around the world since 2001.
Their engaging workshops create a safe environment for groups to learn evidence-backed, life-saving skills, emphasizing that self-defense education is about more than just physical resistance. Girls Fight Back, led by CEO Nicole Snell, provides audiences with a range of applicable safety strategies that can be used in any setting so that you can lead a badass life.
To learn more about Girls Fight Back and to bring their award-winning trainings and seminars to your community, visit girlsfightback.com. That's girlsfightback.com.